Culturology on Northern Community Radio. I'm Heidi Holton. I love talking to authors, all kinds of different authors. One of my favorites over the years has been Adriana Trajani. Now, Adriana is not a typical Minnesota author. She, in fact, did not grow up in Minnesota, but in West Virginia, but her grandparents came from the Iron Range. If you've read her work, you can feel and see the influence of these immigrants who came to the Iron Range. And in her latest novel, it's described as an epic novel, The Shoemaker's Wife, she's really taken their story and given it new life and created a great story that spans a lifetime. I asked Adriana about the influence of her grandparents on her writing.
I knew my grandmother very well and adored her. And she lived to be well into her 90s and lived all that time having been widowed at the age of 35. So she stayed true to my grandfather even in death. So the picture that I have of him is through her eyes. And from everything that I hear tell about him, he was a great guy. He played the bugle. He was the life of the party, a wonderful shoemaker who dreamed of making women's shoes and usually spent his time repairing the work boots of the miners on the Iron Range. So he had big dreams, but he died too young, really, to fulfill them. He also worked in the mines, which I did not put in the book because we felt like we had to kind of focus on, you know, keeping things as, how can I say this, as focused and as, you know, clear in the storytelling as possible. So there's a wonderful sense there that, you know, he lived a very rich and full life, even though he died young. And certainly loved the Iron Range.
Well, let's talk about these characters that you have created in The Shoemaker's Wife. They meet when they are very young in Italy. Tell us about them.
Well, what I did was is I kind of went back in history, and I looked at what facts I had about the youth of my grandparents. And I thought it would be really fabulous to have them meet when they were young. And I was able to do that. One of the things that was true about them is that they didn't meet until they were in Hoboken. So I always thought it was funny that they grew up in villages, or ironic, 5 miles apart. So in the book, I'm able to, when I'm doing a novel, I can take the truth and then have some fun with it. So I had them meet when they were young. My grandmother did lose a sibling very young to leukemia. That's what we think it was. And so the basic underpinnings of my grandfather and his brother being in the convent orphanage was true. Being 5 miles apart was true. The fact that my great-grandfather ran a horse and carriage from the Italian Alps down to the city of Bergamo was also true. So we had a lot of great basic fundamental facts that were going to hold me in good stead as I wrote this. So I built it really from the truth. And then from there would kind of dramatize the story and give it its kind of arc and pitch and tone and tension from my imagination.
Adriana, what's it like for you? This is an epic novel, The Shoemaker's Wife, but to have sort of those, to be telling the story of your family in a lot of ways with your fiction, you know, somewhat, but what does it do for you sort of as a storyteller to keep you going on writing that story?
Well, everybody has a different theory as to why someone becomes a writer. It's a sort of a compulsion. You're compelled to do it. And I think that my theme sort of found me, the things maybe that trouble me that I want to make right, or the things that I feel are murky or ill-defined, they need edges and definition. So I try to go into a story, and in particular this story, from my family, what should we call it, like really my family chest. It's like a storage chest of stuff. And with this one, it was such, I knew it was an epic because it extended over 2 world wars, and it had such interesting characters, and also that I felt like in writing it that it needed, it had scope, so it needed me to be very serious about it, so it took me a very long time to write it. So it was very different from my other books in that way. I mean, not that they take a long time to write also, but this is really over 25 years that I thought about this, you know. So I really took my time with it and tried to figure it out. And, you know, I would say that, you know, the research aspect of it was really fun and very delicious of a process. And I really took my time with it. But I would say that it also, in writing this book, it kind of changed me. Going forward, I really want to write epics. I really enjoyed it.
Well, let's talk about these characters, what they did when they got to New York City. What kind of jobs and passions did they find there?
Well, I knew I had done a pretty good job with the New York years because my own sister said to me, did Grandma work for Enrico Caruso? Which was a huge compliment because, of course, she hadn't. But she was a huge Enrico Caruso fan. And the heart of my grandmother's and grandfather's love story is so sad to me that they struggled and then he died so young. Always got me. So I really, in this novel, wanted to give her something spectacular and to give her real choices when it came to her own life so that when the worst happened, that she would feel, or we would feel as a reader, that she had chosen love really over everything else, which was the case in life. So the New York years were fantastic fun because I live here and I was able to go to the Metropolitan Opera House and all the places and venues that my grandmother did, including a coffee shop that's been there since the Cafe Roma on Broome Street in Little Italy has been there since 1898. So I just really had fun with all that, the New York years. And, you know, in choosing the story to continue as it had in reality to Minnesota, I thought was just a great, very American story. You know, our immigrant ancestors went where the work was. And they went where they believed they could make a good living and have a family. You know, so that's all a really interesting, you know, those are all interesting aspects to telling a story in a novel. But when it came to my grandparents, I mean, I really had this very, very rich story, the heart of which is very sad. So any time that I could let the novel take flight and break out of the story a little bit and let them really be free and adventurous, I did it. And that would be and New York was a big example of that.
Yeah, I love the descriptions of the opera and Enza and her friend Laura and their life there in New York together and, you know, where they lived and going to the Automat, is that
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just love those. I mean, I love the love story.
I love that Automat too, you know, and I got to go and see the machines and do a lot of wonderful research with it. I mean, just had a ball with it. The coffee, you know, they served a chicory kind of coffee there, which I thought was great. And, you know, I just tried to work in those details as much as I could to just make the story, you know, really feel like it had air, like it could breathe, that it was big.
So tell us more about Chisholm. I mean, you were close to your grandmother. And
I came to Chisholm quite a bit.
Yeah, what did you find out? How did you do research here, I guess?
Well, first of all, you know, Chisholm to me was a magical place. To me, it represented, you know, my grandmother's shop on Main Street, which I thought was so fabulous that she lived on Main Street at the very end. And there's a beautiful lake there called Longyear Lake, and it's a stunner, you know, and sometimes the winds would whip up and it looked like it had white caps on it. This, you know, one of those big, cold, navy blue Minnesota lakes. And because she lived in town, you felt a sense of kind of excitement all the time. I did anyway. I just felt like we were in the middle of all the action in Chisholm. And my grandmother knew everybody on Main Street. We walked up the street to the library. I was really excited to dramatize the library. And because that was a place that my grandmother and my mother and her brother and sister went a lot. And my mother grew up to become a librarian, as did her sister. So that Chisholm Library really plays a big role in everything to me in our lives because of my mother's profession and also because of my profession, you know, books and the library. And my mother told me wonderful stories about the library. So I had all that. You know, I had the things that were deeply personal to my family. But then I also had the great Vita Paniekvar, the editor, now editor emeritus of the Chisholm Free Press. And that's really one of the most beautifully written small-town newspapers in America, historically accurate, politically really fascinating, really reflecting the hearts and minds of the people that live on the Iron Range. So I had those wonderful interviews that Vita had conducted through the years because Vita had the wherewithal to interview people like my grandmother when they were in their 60s and 70s. So she had really the turn-of-the-century immigration documented beautifully. And the photographs, Vita had run some photographs in the paper that we did not even have in my grandmother's private collection. I don't know where Vita got them, but they were sensational. And I've used some of them in books because they're just amazing. So I had all these elements that kind of came together to really describe Chisholm. You know, Valentini's restaurant is still there, and it's still great, and people still eat there. So you kind of had, you felt like you still had, you know, a foothold in history to a large degree. So those vast, sweeping, low, cinnamon-colored hills, you know, those mining operations, all those things from the past, you know, that are now, you know, museum quality really came into play when I was writing the novel. And I wanted to do justice, really, to the community up there. You know, I took great pains in talking to folks that grew up there, the Yugoslavians, the Serbians, the Croatians, the Greeks, the Scandinavians. You know, I wanted to really mix the group up and make sure that it felt like it felt when I visited there, because the names were always really interesting when we visited. And my mother, you know, her lifelong friends, many Italian from up there, but truly every ethnicity, you know, is part of my mother's life. So I really wanted to make that colorful, you know, I really wanted to dramatize the color of what life is like on the Iron Range. And I have to say, too, you know, it's so interesting to me because I've seen the Iron Range dramatized, you know, in movies in the last 10 years. And I understand, you know, every artist looks at things differently, but I just see such pristine beauty. And, you know, the element, it's like Bob Dylan said, it's so cold up there you couldn't really even get into trouble. You were just trying to stay warm. And how the climate affects people's choices and how they hunker in the winter or ice skate the entire winter and how they froze the ice rink. All that stuff was really interesting to me. So I was able to incorporate all of that into the novel.
You know, it seems to me that one of the things that you really do capture well about the Iron Range and about, you know, your ancestors is people who are hardworking. They find something in their life that they stick to, or they have to move on to something else, but they work really hard at everything that they're doing.
Well, you're hitting a very important work ethic, certainly of the countries that emigrated to Minnesota. And it's true really of all immigrants, so we could just throw everybody in the same basket, but it wasn't just about making a living. It was important to take care of your family, but it was never important to be rich. It was important to do an honest day's labor for a fair wage and to have a family at home you were taking care of and to really make enough to have a comfortable life. It didn't have to be anything crazy. It didn't have to be grand. There wasn't that kind of hunger for more all the time. So, but there was a hunger to do the right thing and work hard and take care of your responsibilities. And that was really fascinating to me when I looked back on it. Just felt like, wow, that's a really interesting way of life, you know, and truly, truly American.
So, Adriana, would the people in your life describe you like that?
I think they might, yeah. I think they might. People always tell me I'm working too hard. I just don't really understand what that means. I mean, I work hard because I have to. I think if you can identify what your gifts are, then you spend your whole life really honoring that because it's a gift. Like, and if you have a particular talent for something, you know, it's a gift. And I try to work really hard to get better. I would get that perfectionism from my grandmother for sure. She used to say that nobody, you know, she was a great, great seamstress, and she said, nobody has to see how many times you rip out the hem. You know, nobody sees how many times I rewrite a sentence or a phrase. Sometimes it's in the hundreds, over and over and over. So in that way, I have to say I'm just like her. And that certainly is an ethic, Midwestern, Northern Midwestern people. You have to be tough to survive a hard winter. And then you have to be really embrace the spring and the summer. And really get out in it, you know.
Did you ever get to see any of the shoes that you're... I'm jumping a little bit here, but for some reason I wondered that, if you had seen any of the shoes that your grandfather made.
I haven't seen the shoes that he made. But my grandmother, for years after he died, then began selling shoes. And I learned everything about what to buy in a pair of shoes from her. There's a thing that you can do where you drop the shoe about 8 inches from the ground, and a woman's shoe should sway equally. That means the heel is weighted correctly. She was a real stickler for the way shoes fit. Before anyone had them, we were wearing shoal sandals, those wooden-bottomed shoes. And I know this is probably a sidebar, but everybody in my family has beautiful feet because we always wore good shoes. We didn't wear a lot of shoes. We wore good shoes. And my mother was a stickler for that, the boots that laced. You know, my mother really worries now when she sees her grandchildren because she worries the shoes aren't structured enough, because when we were growing up, they were quite structured and there was room in them and all that, but they were structured and they were, you know, made of breathable materials, you know. And that's changed now.
Right.
But when you look at, you know, the things that I learned watching her, you know, watching her sense of craftsmanship, I had a really good sense of my grandfather's. And I have that wonderful photograph of him working on a work boot. I just treasure that photograph. I'm so happy that somebody thought to go in that shop that day and take his picture, because it's on my desk and looking at it right now, it just sustains me.
That's Adriana Trajani. The newest novel is called The Shoemaker's Wife. You can find lots of information at her website, AdrianaTrajani.com. And I know you do some travel with your readers, and maybe someday in the warm time of year, you should do an Iron Range, trip and bring your readers along. It's a little farther than, and not quite as scenic as going to Italy.
They would love it.
They would. It's fun. It was fun. I got to see the CBS video that was on your website about you taking your readers along and showing them the real places that your stories are set. And
but you're right. We need to do the Iron Range. Nice summer trip.
Sounds good. We could go on the lake in Chisholm, and it'll be great. Go to Valentini's, all of that.
Yeah.
Adriana, thank you so much. It was great to talk to you again.
Heidi, it's always a pleasure. I know when I write a book, you're going to have me on. And I just love the people of Minnesota, and it's a big treat for me to be on your show, and I thank you so much, and can't wait till I come up your way again.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.